and welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres. Today we have a conversation between Hague researcher Jessica Schmeiss and Julia Hodja about the collection and monitoring of health data. Hodja is CEO of Zana, an AI-based health assistant available via app, wearables, and a platform that can answer direct questions about health via voice or text input, and that enables continuous monitoring of health factors by integrating wearables. Here is their conversation.
Okay, so welcome. I am here today with Julia Hodja from Zana in our lovely office here in Berlin Mitte. And thank you so much for joining me for the podcast today.
Thank you, Jessica, for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And maybe to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what your background is, why you actually came to my podcast? I'm going to let you do the introduction to yourself.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a pleasure. So my name is Julia Hodja. I am a mother of two. I am a computer scientist, long career, worked for many years in the university and academia, and now diving back to the entrepreneurial world, where I've co-founded, and I'm also the managing director of the startup Zana Technologies.
The first thing that I would actually like to know from you is you're a computer scientist. So,
yes.
And the term artificial intelligence, AI, it's been all over the place.
I know.
One reason you're on the podcast today. So can you explain maybe in your own words, what does the term artificial intelligence mean to you as a computer scientist and as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Well, very good question because, and it's interesting how sometimes when I'm at different events and I tell like investors or other interesting parties that we're also doing AI for healthcare, sometimes you encounter this kind of skepticism. Oh, like everybody's doing AI. Are you also doing blockchain, by the way, and like cryptocurrency and you have all the package? So to me, AI is what we are witnessing more and more every day in the computers around us. In a narrow technical perspective, these are the programs that absorb the information from the surroundings and also from their past experiences to make a decision for the future in conducting a task. However, what is more important and more general, in my view, is the ability of this technology not just to simulate human intelligence, but also to leverage, most importantly, to leverage and to complement our capabilities through their power to process huge amounts of data, which the human mind is not able to do in a shorter time. And I think this is key, and this is what, to me, this technology means. And I've been working with it for a while now, since starting with my PhD thesis, where I was using a lot of machine learning and semantic technologies, bringing them into recommender systems for diversification of recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that leads to the next question. So obviously, you had a career as a researcher, also in a very up-to-date field and, you know, some very hot topics. So what was then your motivation to find to become an entrepreneur and found Zana and, you know, take everything that you had done in your research and into practice and bring it back basically to the economy.
To the economy and to the market. So I have worked and experienced research and academia for a very long time. However, I see that deeply in me there is this latent, this hidden entrepreneurial side, because this is actually not the first time that I'm an entrepreneur and kind of diving into the startup world. I co-founded my first company when I was only 21. The company is still operating in a country outside of Germany. And now and then, I've always kind of looked at initiatives to go back to people, to users with something that is very pragmatic, with a solution that you can put in the hands of thousands or potentially millions of users. So I'm still drawn to research, and I still aim to supervise master theses and work with students in their research work. However, I've always been looking for solutions that, as I mentioned, touches the life of people in a more pragmatic, more practical way, in something that you can see the impact in a shorter time. And so this was also one at least one of the motivations of starting the startup together with our my co-founder, Armand Brahai, who is also a key person in this venture. And maybe I can tell a little bit more. Yeah. What was the motivation behind behind Zana, why we wanted to start it? So as parents of children, we go to the internet even more frequently, more often, to look for health-related information, or even for ourselves. And this idea actually started back in 2014, even though we didn't really engage right away in a more, so to say, full-time manner. However, we were looking at this gap or this challenge, so to say, in the solutions that were present by the time, where you were overwhelmed with so much information that also has a little credibility. And we were always envisioning together, the two of us, these intelligent assistant. Back then, chatbots actually were not a trend at all. They were not being used. They actually started a couple of years later. However, at that time, we were envisioning an assistant that helps you to find health-related information, that learns about you over time and gives you insights about your health, that you have as a companion by your side, and not just as a solution that is, so to say, fire and forget. You just go online, search for something, and the machine forgets who you are. And also to disrupt this technology with the way of how we interact with the machines, by using voice and natural language in order to communicate with machines, but especially for the health domain, because I truly believe that our health is one of the most important pillars of our lives and of our society.
So both of you actually came from the computer science side, right?
Both.
And it was like a personal motivation to go into healthcare. So you didn't have any previous
Previous experience with healthcare. However, at that time, I was also offered a position as a postdoctoral scientist at Columbia University in New York in the field of medical informatics. And of course, I searched and I was looking, so to say, on purpose with that kind of profile. And then, of course, I took that job, and I worked for more than 2 years in medical informatics. And I also used that experience to gain more understanding of the problems in healthcare, or also of the ways that medical knowledge bases are structured. Mm-hmm. Also, always having our startup and our idea on the background, and kind of gaining more understanding and bringing it back to the product that we wanted to bring to the market.
Wow, so that was a good cycle then, that you basically did a lot of research and then put it into your own startup.
Yes.
So you talked a little bit about the type of technologies that you use for your product, but can you tell a little bit more detailed what type of AI technologies is it that you actually use? Like, and what kind of data do you use basically to feed this
the product? The system and the algorithm. Yeah, very good question. So our key innovation and the focus is on the conversational AI. So even though we are tailoring the product for a much broader scope in terms of remote monitoring of health of patients, and I can tell you a little bit more about that, but in terms of technology, what we want to bring as a novel and innovative technology is the way that we interface with the applications on the devices, with the computer programs, and in our case, in a mobile application, through natural language, through voice and text. And there is quite a huge amount of tech that goes into developing a voice assistant as Zana, as we are doing for the health domain. And we rely particularly on in-house technology that we have developed with the purpose of natural language understanding. Mm-hmm. So basically taking the information, what the user is saying, processing it, the text, so to say, or from the voice, processing and making sense out of it. What is the meaning? And so this is one part, the understanding of the natural language technology. And then there is also the dialogue management technology. Assuming that I understand what the user wants, then what do I do next? Mm-hmm. So basically, what would the system do next? So then this is the technology that we are also also building with our team, and of course bringing a lot of know-how and expertise from our previous research work. And of course, this also builds upon a foundation of quite a big knowledge base, medical knowledge base, that we have also constructed over the recent years. And we have also, we say it's semantically processed, so we process it so that the machines can understand better what this knowledge is about. Is it about disease, symptoms, anatomical parts of the body, and so on.
And does it feed into basically what the machine then answers? If I ask it a question,
yes,
it probably has a certain database where it says, oh, yes, this is what I need
exactly.
to answer now.
So the knowledge base serves two purposes. On one side, exactly what you mentioned, so to come up with an answer, a concise answer to the question. And on the other side, the knowledge base is also used to train the algorithm in order to understand what was the meaning of the question or of the request that the user made. So both these purposes. And this is a huge amount of time and efforts and investment that we have done together with our team of doctors as well as engineers to process, to maintain this knowledge base and continuously evolve it. And of course, also relying on licensed medical sources. And the interesting part that also connects to this, to the technology that we are building and that we are applying, is that the more users will use and will talk to the assistant, then we'll put them, so to say, in this learning cycle, and we'll know even more over time to differentiate the meaning and to understand what all the users are saying. So if it's a little bit more confined now, with over time, these learning algorithms, this system will become more intelligent, so to say, and will make better decisions. Mm-hmm. In order to gain insights about our health or the health of patients, what we're bringing as a novelty here, it's that we are combining two types of data. On one side, those that come through the interactions with Zana, with the assistant, in forms of patient-reported outcomes, mm-hmm. And we call them soft data, mm-hmm. or patient-reported data. And we combine them with automatically gathered or collected data. And these come through different wearables or medical devices that we are able to interface with the assistant or to connect, so connected devices. And for these wearables, we are now, in order to enrich the platform, we are cooperating also with different partners in order to leverage the kind of data that we can interface and we can connect to the system so that we're able to learn about the users more, about their health, but also to create an holistic and comprehensive profile. And of course, for these, we are not developing these devices ourselves, but we rely on these partners. So this is one of the key components that we have introduced recently in the platform.
That makes a lot of sense. So essentially, if I understood it correctly, if I have like a Fitbit or something, I could essentially connect it to Zana, and then it would read that information.
So right now, this is also a new development. We have introduced our own health watch that you can connect to Zana Assistant in order to gain understanding about the different data, such as blood pressure, heart rate, frequency, activity, and sleep patterns. And with the other partners, the cooperation is mostly on medical devices, which are already certified. So for example, they already have the CE mark. And one example would be an ECG monitor, where you can basically track ECG, and it could be also a continuous or non-continuous monitor of ECG, or a thermometer for basal temperature, and we aim to enrich this even more. So in order to, as I said, to gain a more comprehensive understanding and continuous learning of the profile, of the health profile.
Okay, so that's actually interesting. So it's not, you know, basically just tracking my steps and my heart rate or something, but it's actual medical devices.
Medical devices, because our goal actually with this solution is to enable continuous and real-time monitoring of chronically ill patients or patients after a cardiac surgery. So what we have additionally built is a monitoring platform, a web-based monitoring platform, where healthcare providers or caregivers or clinical researchers, where they're doing, for example, monitoring of patients during clinical clinical trials, they can monitor patients in real time and proactively intervene when they are they see critical data entering the system, but also to take better measures in terms of treatment progress and treatment adaptation.
Mm-hmm. That actually funnels very nicely into my next question, which was... if you would have to say in one sentence, what is, so to say, your value proposition? So what kind of problem do you solve for your customers with your product?
The care as we know it today, it mostly is mostly episodic, and we have to travel back to the healthcare provider in order to gain this care. And of course, this comes with its consequences, such as high care costs on one side, but also lower quality of care or a lack of timely interventions. And this is one of the most important and critical problems that we are looking right now and that we want to tackle with such solution. How can we compensate for this discontinuum of care and build a bridge between the patients and the doctors? But it could also be for, let's say, healthier patients that also want to gain insights about their health all the time or just have some sporadic unhealthy events, so to say. And how to build this bridge so that we can extend then the medical oversight outside the walls of the healthcare providers through the technology that surrounds us. And in a way, we are not replacing the doctor, but we are bringing the doctors near to us. And also helping them to tailor their healthcare offers, their healthcare services better by knowing over time, continuously and in real time, how the patient is doing. Also having a way to assess their treatment. And actually, this was also a problem that we just didn't come up ourselves, but we were explicitly told, and it was articulated by the doctors, by healthcare providers and themselves, stating that they see these, this continuum, as I mentioned, or this isolation once the patient leaves them. And they were explicitly saying, sometimes we don't know if the operation really worked or not. If after a year, you know, how is the patient doing? Are they healthy or not? And so in a way, it's also a way for them not only to have proactive care, but also to assess the outcome of the treatment over time.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're solving a very important issue that has not been addressed yet, but obviously it's a super regulated industry that you're tackling. How are you addressing that?
This is an excellent question and, of course, a challenge in itself. It's not only a regulated industry, but I also have to admit that it's also setting that it requires a shift in paradigm or in the mindset of also healthcare providers, but I would say less of patients because they're becoming more aware of themselves and willing to be tracked, but especially of healthcare providers. And of course, also the regulations quite regulated, and especially in the DACH region where we also want to operate as a first focus in the first years, everything is on its own place. And so if it's work, don't touch it, so to say. And we also see that healthcare in many respects has remained outdated in many things. So when it comes, for example, to monitoring of patients and their quality of life, in most of the cases, still paper-based questionnaires are used, and we want to replace this through these conversational interfaces. So how are we dealing with that? First of all, we are collaborating directly with the healthcare providers, with the clinics, and finding ways to validate our solutions through clinical trial, a clinical study. And we already have agreements with two such clinics that are willing to test the product with their own patients, post-surgery cardiac patients. And these would be one of the directions, so to say, of the strategy in order to measure quite accurately KPIs, like indicators, how this solution is working, how it is successful in the patient compliance, in patient adherence, in the satisfaction of the doctors using it, so they're not overwhelmed, and of course, in the capability and its potential to reduce readmission rates. And so in through this first direction of the strategy, we believe that we can come with hard numbers to convince them that it's worth it, because they will not only save money, but also the healthcare quality will improve. And this is one direction. The other direction is by participating in programs that allow startups to interface or to connect to corporate members, such as health insurance companies or healthcare providers and clinics. And they also give you a leverage not only to get in direct contact with them, but also to get some small fundings in terms of having pilot projects with them. And so we were also glad to get accepted in two of these programs. One of them, for example, the Plug and Play InsurTech program that gives you access directly to representatives of health insurance companies. And this is a very good way to directly talk to these members and understand their needs, their pain points, but also to validate our value proposition and adapt, of course, adapt according to the needs and the demands.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about your product, your technology, how you came and how you're dealing with different issues. Do you have revenue mechanisms defined yet? So who in that ecosystem of multiple
players
would actually pay in the end for the
absolutely,
solution.
Absolutely, yeah. We have to be very clear on that, also to target our customer groups. So we are pursuing and investigating, so to say, both B2C and B2B models. So in the B2C model, we just launched the Health Watch connected to Zana Assistant, and these is a way of for users to gain insights of their health, but also when also connected to the ECG and thermometer, they can share this data also with their caregiver, who could be a family member far away, but also a healthcare provider like a doctor. And there would be a subscription model for that. Either a one-time fee for the device that they're buying, and then a subscription model for the monitoring platform. This is the B2C approach. In the B2B approach, we are targeting two customer groups. The first customer group are the clinics. Our market entry is especially with the private clinics that have more flexibility also in terms of budget and regulation. And the other customer group are the healthcare insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And this is why I mentioned also these programs where we are participating are also a good bridge to validate our proposition and tailor upon. So these are the two models that we are envisioning and we are exploiting.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that was actually everything I wanted to ask. Is there anything you want to add that maybe we didn't touch upon? Anything you want to say? Maybe if you can give me like a few sentences on what your vision is for the healthcare sector. Being a computer scientist, really deep into research and knowing what is possible, what is your vision? What would you say in 10 years from now, if it were up to you, what would it look like?
So the capacity of bringing the technology and the benefit of society is in the hands of people is one of the greatest motivation for us as founders. However, we picked, so to say, health as a very critical, significant component of our life. And of course, for me, as a person in general, but also as a computer scientist, there is this vision and wish that the more AI applications are integrated into medicine and the healthcare, the more services, higher quality of care, and also economically efficient care will have in offered for millions and millions of people who don't necessarily have it right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Those were all my questions. There will be a blog post in addition to this. So to any listener, feel free to check that out, which will describe a little bit more also about the company and about the business model. And with that, I hope to hear you next time. And thank you so much, Julia, for joining me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
That were Jessica Schmeiss and Julia Hodja. More on their research you can find in the notes of the show. For other events and research projects organized by the Humboldt Institute for Internet and Society, visit hiig.de. As always, if you enjoyed the episode and you find yourself 20 minutes wiser about the internet, don't forget to leave us a rating or comment on iTunes. For now, this was Exploring Digital Spheres. Catch you on the flip side.